Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 440. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will tell you how. Four different ways. At the end of the program, please specify whether you want a CD or an audio tape. Either one are absolutely free of charge, including the postage and the handling. We have some fantastic music this evening by a man who has 10 times in a row won the Musician of the Year by the Southern Gospel Music Association for 10 years in a row. He claimed more than one gospel voice Diamond Award, and he won the most coveted Dove Award as well. Fans voted him to be the singer through the newspaper, or rather a magazine called The Singing News, as one of the top five musicians in Southern Gospel. And we're going to be playing him in just a minute here. See if you can guess who that person is. And we have a strong message this evening, a continuation of yesterday's message. We may be getting, we also have some testimonies and Bible reading. But right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask the Lord to take over this program, to anoint it from the top to the end, from the very A to the Z, from the very Alpha to the Omega, from the beginning to the end. Lord, bless this program into everyone's heart, both the unsaved and the saved, that they might be saved and that the church become more zealous and keep your commandments all the more and get involved in their separation of the soul from the spirit. And Lord, we ask it that souls will be saved and the church strengthened in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, rebuke Satan everywhere in the world against everyone that he's tormenting. We were made, Father, in your image and likeness, in the likeness and image of Jesus, your Son. And it is such a horrible thing. When we think of mankind, we should be praising and thanking the Lord, because when we look at each other, we should be seeing someone that is, we should know that we're looking at someone that is in the image and likeness of Jesus. And therefore, we should never abuse children or abuse human beings or lie about them, because this is a great sin. Lord, we pray that when you rebuke Satan, that you will rebuke them, him in every way, that we can know freedom to continue distributing your literature, and that you'll anoint me and others, Lord, to write more literature and to bring a better radio program, and that you'll open doors so I can be on television. And Lord, that souls will be saved and the church strengthened. Put down your hand, Father. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray that the Prince of Peace will enter into the hearts of the Jewish people, such as myself and Sharon. Lord, because it's your will that we pray for Jerusalem. The Gentile world has been taught that we're different than the Gentile, and indeed we are. We're a people that's been raised from a dead man and dead woman, so far as having children is concerned. We pray, Lord, that you'll teach them the truth, that you stated that the Jew is the head and the Gentile is the tail. And therefore, the Gentiles should yearn to become spiritual Jews so that they can become the head as well. Lord, let it be so. Let people not be angry at your chosen people, because you chose them. And if they're angry or offended at you, Father, there's no possible way that they can enter into the kingdom of heaven. But they will spend eternity in the lake of fire. Father, let them receive your word rather than the things that they've been taught by generations of ugly people in Jesus' name. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
I was promising you a song here. We're going to play a really good one by Anthony Berger. He's playing here on the piano a medley of the three different songs. Great is Thy Faithfulness, How Big is God, and How Great Thou Art. Open your ears now. This man is really the best piano player I've ever heard. There was one that equaled him when I was in the fifth or sixth grade. We had a little man, little guy in there. No one ever paid any attention to him, but they rolled one of these upright pianos in there, the teacher did, and said that Mr. Little Peterson here is going to play some songs for you. And we all just put our hands on our forehead and said, oh, boy, let it not be so. But when we heard him, he played, I'm telling you, that little kid played as good as Mr. Berger here. However, Jerry Peterson never got involved in Southern gospel music. I'm sure that he would have been right up there with him if that would have happened. He's from Billings, Montana. Now, here is Anthony Berger. He's won so many awards, it's unreal, in many years in a row, and he won so many, 10 times in a row, that they actually started calling it the Anthony Berger Award. So this is the greatest gospel piano player in gospel, Southern gospel music of all time, Anthony Berger. That'd be real nice if all piano players could play like that, that you could actually feel the presence of the Lord just emanating right from his fingers. It's just incredible because he's playing with all of his heart and soul. You know, one of the most distracting things in the world from the actuality of the Lord is to walk into a service in a church where it sounds like funeral music. That isn't the Lord. That's the most depressing thing in the world. God is not the God of the dead, but he's the God of the living. Amen?
Amen.
And so when there's musicians that are alive and there's singers that are alive, they should be singing from their heart with their spirit, worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. And when we have, when his spirit is united with our spirit, then we've really got a lot to be very zealous. You know, we can feel his power, his spirit in people that are moved by the Holy Spirit, that are filled with the Holy Spirit. So we're going to hear some more from him. This is the most touching. I saved it for last. It's about a little over 6 minutes long. We shall behold him. You'll know something. The Lord's coming back to earth again, and everyone's going to see him, the Bible says. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to behold him. Behold, he cometh in clouds, and every eye shall see him. Amen?
Amen.
They're going to behold him. You're going to see the Lord, whether you want to or not. And the people that are not born again of the Spirit are going to be praying for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them to hide them from the wrath of the Lamb of God. Amen?
Amen.
And Jesus is the Lamb of God. All right. Now we have some testimonials here. And where's the first one from?
From Veracruz, Mexico.
Okay. They did a movie on Veracruz. I remember that years ago. Veracruz. They even did a song on it. Okay. Go ahead.
Brother Tony, blessings from our all-powerful God. I am a distributor of the world newsletters. I am requesting for you to send me more of your newsletters because they are a great blessing. Souls are being converted to the Lord by this material. Send me whatever quantity to continue working in the sowing of the seed of the gospel. Thank you, Brother Tony. Yours in the love of the Lord, signed Gerardo from Veracruz, Mexico.
Veracruz. All right, now we have another one. Where is that from?
From Ghana, Africa.
Okay.
Dear Pastor, I am very grateful to write you this letter.
You know, you hear people saying, what about the black people out in the darkest, deepest jungles in Africa? Those people know the Bible better than the people here in the United States. You know that?
Amen.
They really know the Lord over there. And they're getting saved by the thousands, millions. Okay, what does he say? Start out again.
Dear Pastor, I am very grateful to write you this letter. I know by the grace of the Almighty God you are very well. The purpose for writing you this letter is to tell you what God has done in my life through you, and to request for a Bible and your book entitled The Messiah. I am a boy of 16 years of age, and I am sorry to say that I am an orphan. I lost both my parents while I was still young. I did not know God since the beginning of my life, until a friend, known as Adam, gave me a copy of your literature. After studying it carefully, I found that I was totally lost, and I had to give myself to Christ. In fact, I gave myself to Christ. I do not have any good books that will help me build my faith in Christ up, so I am therefore humbly requesting that you try your very best to send me a copy of a Bible and your book, The Messiah, and any other books that will help me remain steadfast in the Lord. I would be happy if my letter is given immediate attention, hoping to hear from you soon. Thank you. Yours faithfully, signed Emmanuel from Axim, Ghana, Africa.
Praise the Lord. You know, that's so sad. There's so many people that have become orphans because of the wrath of God that's being poured out all over the world. A lot of people say that it's Mother Nature, but if you read the Bible, you see it's God. There isn't anything that's going on in the world that is not being allowed by God. And God said that he does that because of people's sinfulness. He does it in hopes that you will get a hold of the Lord, that you'll stop mixing your soul life with your spirit life. The Lord says that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, even the sword that the different Pharisees used to use, or the different people that were the priests. I'm talking about that were in the time of Moses, and they used to use these sharp two-edged sword to split the different sacrifices in half and then cut them asunder, and so that people could see what's inside of a person. But the Lord sees very well inside of us, and that's why the Word of God, when it's preached, is so offensive to people that want to live more of a soul, a soulish type of a life, that is the life of the flesh, rather than they want to live a life of the Spirit. Because God is Spirit, and those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit, in their spirit and truth. The Lord cannot really do His work in a person that has a mixture of soul life or flesh life and spirit. It must be cut asunder. Before Him, no creature is hidden, but all are open and laid bare. This is by His knife, His sword. He destroys a people. He manufactured people by the Spirit, His Word, and He can cut them asunder by His Word, because everyone is open and laid bare to the eyes of God, to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. These scriptures, therefore, tell us how much the Lord Jesus fulfills His work as High Priest with respect to our spirit and our soul. The Holy Spirit compares the Christian or the believer, whichever you like to use, to be a sacrifice on the altar. During the Old Testament period, when people presented an offering, that is animal sacrifice, because Christ is the Lamb of God, and in the Old Testament, in order to show that you believe that God is coming to the world in the flesh, you must bring offerings so that the blood of these offerings, these animals, could be shed, symbolic of the blood that would be shed when Jesus comes to earth, our true sacrifice. What they did is they bound these different sacrifices to the altar. The priests then came and killed it with a very sharp sword or knife. They parted it into two, and piercing it to the division of the joints and the marrow, thus exposing to you all that formerly had been hidden from human sight what's inside of this creature. Afterwards, it was burned with fire as an offering to God. The Holy Spirit uses this event to illustrate to us the work of the Lord Jesus towards believers or Christians, and the experience of the believers or Christians in the Lord. This is the experience that we must go through if we're sacrifices. The Lord said that He sacrificed Himself for us, and therefore we need to sacrifice our lives. That is, if we want to enter into the kingdom of heaven. This is for us. Amen?
Amen.
We believe because, and we obey, because if we don't obey, that means we're walking in the flesh or the soul type of a life. But the Lord wants us to be, the soul, to be completely cleared away from our spirit, so that we're not walking in the soul and the spirit. It's impossible, if we're not following the Lord all the time, to follow Him at all. Just as the sacrifice of old was cut asunder by the priest's sword, double-edged sword or knife, so that the joints and the marrow were made visible and divided, even so, the Christian or believers today has his soul and spirit split apart by the Word of God. Well, how is it split apart by the Word of God? Because the Word of God tells us to do that, as used by our high priest. I mentioned in a few messages back about how that there are sins unto death, and then there are sins that are not unto death. But when we see the sins of ignorance, and we know that they're made plain to us by the Word of God, then we have to make a tremendous effort to live the spirit life and to cut that part of the soul out of our spirit, so that the Lord Jesus is able to live in us more purely, because we must be pure without spot or blemish or anything that is sinful in us in order for us to get into the kingdom of heaven and to stay out of the lake of fire. The Lord, our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus, is our high priest. There is no human, he's made us a nation of priests and kings. However, he is the high priest, amen?
Amen.
This is so that the soul may no longer affect our spiritual life, because we are forbidden to allow the soul life to live within our spirit. If we're not following the Lord completely, well, then really we're not following him at all. So the soul may no longer affect the spirit, nor the spirit anymore be under the soul's authority. Much rather, each will find its rightful place with neither confusion or mixture one with the other. You can't mix leaven into the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
You can't mix sin into him. You have to make a solid choice to accept the Lord Jesus Christ, the entire Word of God, which is spirit and life, and to eschew everything that is evil that could cause your miserable soul. It caused your spirit to spend eternity in the lake of fire. As at the first, the Word of God had operated on creation by separating what? Light from darkness. Amen?
Amen?
There's a separation between light and dark. So now it works within us. Now, don't you people out there that are of a darker skin, don't you be thinking that the Lord is prejudiced or anything like that. Because he offers salvation to everybody. Amen?
Amen.
And it has nothing to do with the color of your skin whatsoever. But he does, he separated the light from the darkness. So now it works within us as the sword of the Spirit, piercing to the separation of the spirit and soul. Therefore, the most noble habitation of God is not our soul, but our spirit. Amen?
Amen.
And the soul and the spirit is entirely separated from the base desires of our souls or the flesh. Our flesh is full of base desires and our wicked thoughts and evil deeds that are in our flesh. So the flesh has to be, or the soul has to be, crucified with the Lord on the cross, so that we're separated. God, our spirit, is entirely separated from the base, the evil, the wicked desires of our souls, or the lusts of our flesh. Therefore, we come to appreciate how our spirit is the indwelling place of God. And if he's going to live in there, we can't be walking after the flesh any longer. Otherwise, we're just cutting our own throats and destroying our own souls. The indwelling place of God, the Holy Spirit, and how our soul, with all its energy, shall indeed do the will of God as revealed to the human spirit by the Holy Spirit. No room can be given then for any independent activity or action of the soul. Okay, the soul has to be nailed to the cross. The flesh has to be nailed to the cross. I mean, it's got to be crucified.
Amen.
Why? Because we don't want to go to hell in the lake of fire. Amen?
Amen.
We want to we separate it with the sword of God, the word of God, the sharp knife. All the independent activity or action of the soul. As the priests of old time split the sacrifice, he cut it open, so our high priest today, Jesus, divides our soul away from our spirit. Amen?
Amen.
So that we can, he wants us to not go to hell and swim in the lake of fire forever at all. He doesn't even want it to touch us. That's why he separated his flesh from all soul life. He died on the cross. He gave up his flesh. And it won't do us any good to give up our flesh to die that in that manner. But if in the event that we are called upon by the Lord to go to the cross, I mean to suffer, to be faithful even to the death, well then, so be it. Amen?
Amen.
As the priestly knife with such sharpness that the sacrifice was cut into two pieces, two piercings to the separation of the closely knit joints and marrow, so also the Word of God, which the Lord Jesus currently is always using, currently is still using, which is Himself. He's the Word of God, and He's the double-edged sword, is more sharper, keener, sharper than any two-edged sword, much more sharper than the knife or the sword of the priests in the day of Moses. And he is able to split or divide clearly and cleanly the most intently related spirit and soul that there may be. There isn't anything other than the Word of God. That's why all false religions are of so much of the devil, because the soul and the spirit has to be divided, and there's no other person on the face of this earth that can do that other than Jesus. And that's why Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes into the kingdom of heaven but by me, okay? The double-edged sword, the Word of God, amen?
Amen.
Because the Word of God is living. It's not dead like religions, amen?
Amen.
For it has, the sword, the Word of God has living power in it. Amen?
Amen.
God is not the God of the dead, but He's the God of the living. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they're all alive because they believed in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were looking forward to the cross, and now we're looking backward at the cross. We say, yes, we believe He has come. There's far more evidence that He's come than it was before. But these people believed that He was coming before He came here, and that's why they were sacrificing all those animals to verify their belief that Jesus, God, was coming to the world in the flesh, and that He was going to die for the sins of the world, so that His blood, the Bible says that there's no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood, so that His blood, He had genuine human blood, and He was a human. Jesus was a human, but God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were in Jesus. So he was a God-man. He called himself the Son of Man. He also stated that he was the Son of God. He also stated that he is God. Amen?
Amen.
And still is. So the Word of God is a living entity, so that in the event that we accept the Lord Jesus Christ with his Father by the Spirit in us, that even though our bodies die, we, our spirits, will never die. So long as we allow the double-edged sword to separate the dead soul from the living power, our spirit, all that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. For God, spirit, it has living power, which is Christ, active because it knows how to work. God's word knows how to work and to cut us. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, since it can pierce into the spirit. What in this world can pierce into our spirit? Amen?
Amen.
But God's word. But God's word, as presented, is much deeper than the soul. It reaches into the innermost spirit, our innermost spirit. God's word leads his people into a spiritual realm more profound than any one of mere sensation. The soul has all kinds of sensations. It loves the things of this earth. It loves to have fun. It loves to have enjoy everyday life. But the Lord says, don't enjoy everyday life. Take up the cross and follow me.
Mm-hmm.
And if you, when you do that for a period of time, you really do enjoy everyday life, but it's not the way that certain preachers preach it. Amen?
Amen.
It's, you enjoy the fact, it because of the fact that the Lord is with you, and you know that you have victory over the soul, the flesh, sin, Satan, the world, death, hell, and the grave. It brings them into the realm of the eternal spirit. Those who wish to be established in God must know the meaning of this penetration into the spirit. The Holy Spirit alone can teach us what soul life is and what spirit life is. Only after we learn how to differentiate experientially these two kinds of life and come to apprehend their respective values, are we delivered from a shallow, loose, sensational walk into that which is deep, firm, and spiritual. Only then do we come into rest or Sabbath in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the fleshy or soulish type life can never furnish us Sabbath or rest. There's people that one day they live in their soul, they walk according to their soul, and the next day they walk according to the Spirit. And those people never have rest. They're always, they just never separate the two, the soul and the spirit. They don't use the word always to cut that flesh, to circumcise the fleshy heart so that the spirit can enter in there. And then they don't appreciate that enough to where they get this tremendous victory and power over sin, Satan, and the world, the flesh, the lusts of the flesh. But please note that this must be known in experience. You have to experience it. Just learning it from the things that the Bible teaches you is not enough. Simply understanding in the mind will merely make us more soulful or soulish or fleshy. It's like looking in the window. They have these plaques out there, I'm sure you know, where it talks about everything that's on the menu. Well, just because you read the menu doesn't mean that that's going to fill your stomach, amen, and mm-hmm. satisfy your body or give your body strength. We have to experience what's on the menu, amen?
Amen.
You can even sit there and order it, but if the waiter or waitress doesn't bring it to you, there's no possible way that you're going to get any strength. We must have food. So just a mere understanding in the mind of these things will merely make you more soulful or more fleshy or soulish. We need to pay special attention to this. Piercing, it has to pierce into you and dividing. The Word of God plunges into the soul as well as into the spirit in order to affect the division of these two. The Lord Jesus in his crucifixion had his hands and feet inside pierced. He couldn't just say, okay, Lord, I'll do it, and then I'm doing it in my mind, Lord. No, he actually had to go through the crucifixion. His hands and feet and side were pierced. He didn't put some lipstick in his hands, you know, to make it look like he was pierced, or when the water and the blood came out of his side, which again is the washing of the water of the Word causing us to be divided from to have all by the Word of washing, the washing of the Word, all the bad things, the evil things that are in our soul are washed away if we receive it into our souls, if it actually pierces our soul and our spirit. Those hands and feet and side were pierced. Are we willing to let the cross work in our soul and spirit? A sword pierced through Mary's soul. Luke chapter 2, verse 35. Although her son was given by God, she was required to let go of him and to relinquish all of her authority and demands upon him. Even though her soul craved to cling to him, in a tenacious way, Mary must deny her natural affection for him. The cleaving of soul and spirit means not only their separation, but also a cracking and opening of the soul itself. It must be split open. Since the spirit is enveloped in the soul, it cannot be reached by the word of life except through a cracked shell. The Lord wants to work himself into us. The Word, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, wants to work himself into that brokenness. The Word of the cross, the Word of life, plunges in and splits open a way into and through the soul so that God's life can reach the spirit within and liberate it from the bondage of its soulish shell. Having received the mark of the cross, the soul now can assume its proper position of subjection to the spirit. But if the soul fails to become passage or a thoroughfare or a street or a highway to the Spirit, then the former surely will come. The letters chain, which is death. The letter of the word bringeth forth death, but it's the spirit within the word, if we receive it into our heart, brings forth death. The letter of the word can kill, and the letter of the word, or the spirit of the word, can bring forth life. These two never agree. The soul and the spirit, the flesh and the spirit do not agree. Or any matter whatsoever before the spirit achieves it. These two, the soul and the spirit, never agree or at any matter whatsoever before the Holy Spirit achieves its rightful place of presentance. In other words, so that the spirit becomes prominent, it is challenged very soon and persistently by the soul, because the soul doesn't want to give up its position, while the spirit is striving to gain freedom and mastery of this strong soul power or flesh power. The flesh has to be crucified. We have to be mindful of that, and we have to do it. The Lord says for us to pick up our cross on a daily basis. Amen?
Amen.
So that means we have to do it. He doesn't say, I'm going to pick up your cross daily, and I'm going to deny yourself. You have to deny yourself. You have to take up the cross. You have to do it. You have to make yourself do it. You have to discipline yourself to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit. It exerts its utmost strength to suppress the spirit. That's the soul does that. Only after the cross has done its work on the soulish life, only after you've applied, you've made yourself be spiritual, so that the soulish life is the split, liberated to do what the Lord wills for it to do. No, only the Spirit will do that. If we remain ignorant of the damage of this discord between the Spirit and the soul, it can bring or remain unwilling to forsake the pleasure of a sensuous walk. If we remain ignorant of the damage of this discord between the spirit and the soul, we can't pretend to be ignorant. We have to read the word, study it, so that we are not ignorant of it. If we do, if we're ignorant, we can bring or remain unwilling to forsake the pleasures and the sensuous walk that we did in the world before we became saved. We have to put it totally away. We shall make hardly any spiritual progress as long as the siege or the war thrown upon by the soul is not lifted. The spirit cannot be free. We must crucify our flesh. We must let it be nailed to the cross. Everything that we see that we're not doing right, everything that we see that we're doing wrong, must be placed under the power of the Spirit, our Spirit. Okay, well, I see that we're just almost out of time, because there's a discourse here by this Anthony Berger. He's telling about his son being in a play. It's very touching, because his son is very young. And, you know, I mean, I've had little children. I have my little daughter, and how precious they are. And when we see them in a play that is a godly play, or when we see them reciting the scriptures, it makes us so proud. So the Lord establishes the church and does all this with a specific and singular confidence that this is not only a revelation from the Almighty God, but it is the thing that God, a manifestation of God's normal and continuing government of men and of nations. We must let the Spirit, the double-edged sword, cut us. And it may be uncomfortable for a while, but when you get used to it, it's just like driving a car. You know, it's just absolutely comes natural. All right, now is the time that the first cut that you want is for the Spirit of God to circumcise your heart. Because he comes crashing in through your chest, your rib cage. It doesn't hurt. It feels real good. And he enters into your heart and cuts the first layer of soul life away, a huge chunk of it. So let's do that right now by saying this prayer. Say to the Lord, "My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former filthy sins, and I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my former filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away, and that concludes me. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul." Now, raise your hands up and praise and thank the Lord. If you're in a vehicle or something, pull over to the side. If you're on a bus, don't be ashamed of the Lord. Because, or a plane or whatever, raise your hands up and praise and thank the Lord. If you're ashamed of him here, he'll be ashamed of you before God and his holy angels. Just praise and thank the Lord. And Sharon, now tell him four different ways to receive a copy of this program, number 440.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370. That's 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Praise the Lord. On February the 22nd, 2006, Anthony Berger died of a massive heart attack at the age of only 44 years old, while performing aboard the MS Zutaram, a cruise ship chartered for by Bill Gaither Gospel Cruise. He was playing background music for Bill and Gloria Gaither when he started experiencing this massive heart attack. They took him back in the back room, and they worked on him with CPR for around 45 minutes, and he was gone. This is the World Pastor Tony Alamo. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for another strong and powerful message and hear some good music and testimonies as well. But right now, here is Anthony Berger to play for you in the choir. We shall behold him, and we will. He's coming back real soon. He's coming in the clouds.
I've got a little five-year-old son. They had a little Easter play at our church. And what they did, they rewrote the scriptures for the four- and five-year-old Sunday school class. Austin was in the play. He was Jesus. He had on his sandals, and he had on one of my white T-shirts that came all the way down to the ground. He had a beard. I can't even grow a beard. The center stage, they had a huge rock there for the altar. He knelt down at that rock in his own little words. He said, "Father, I don't want to die, but I will if you want me to. I'll do anything for you, Father." And they took him. They put him on a little cardboard cross that they had made here. He had lipstick in the palm of his hands. He got up on the cross and he said, "I'm thirsty. Can I have a drink of water?" And he bowed his head and he died. Then they carried him over to the other side of the stage and they had a huge tomb built. They placed him inside of that tomb. You could see him in there through the cracks. He had his eyes shut real tight. And outside the tomb was little 3-year-old girls. They're crying. "Jesus is dead. Jesus is dead. What are we going to do?" Austin came out of that tomb. He said, "Why are you crying? Don't cry. I'm alive. I'm alive. I died, but I came back. Don't cry. I only needed it for the weekend. Don't cry because I'll be with you always." And I'm sitting there on a third pew just losing it. I was so proud of him. Till he went back into the tomb. I said, "Oh Lord, he's embarrassing me in front of all these people. What am I going to do?" About that time he yelled out, "Ready or not, here I come." Hello? He had heard that all of his life, playing hide and go seek. "Ready or not, here I come." A 5-year-old figured that one out, folks. Jesus is coming back soon. I've heard preaching and singing all of my life, but I've never had a sermon touch me as much as that little child. A simple, simple story. He was born in a manger. He grew up, did a few miracles, died on a cross. And 3 days later, he arose. And he's coming back again, ready or not. We shall see Jesus, and I'm looking forward to the day that we shall behold him.